Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. And with a new piece of magic, we can actually see where you are listening, right? I want to remind you that the best email that we get in season 3 of the Box Set Pod, we are going to give to that person, or to our favourite email, we're going to give the box set of Entourage.
The entire 8 seasons of Entourage.
And now, not many people email us, but lots of people do listen. For example, I can see that in the United Kingdom, we have 75 listeners in Woking alone.
Oh, knew it.
Who's down the bottom of the list? Northampton, only one there.
Come on.
So if you're in Northampton, give us a shout, you know. You know what the highest place is in America?
What?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
So if you are listening in Philadelphia,
the streets of Philadelphia,
give us a bell. And also a place called Cyprus in America that we don't know.
Hey, it's a place called Cyprus.
They listen. There's people in the Lebanon, Argentina, Finland, Guadeloupe.
Guadeloupe, eh?
So, you know, pop us an email and just say hi if you do listen. Send us an email. It'll be lovely to hear from you. And as usual, we need those clicks, okay? We need those clicks. So do let us know. Welcome to a James Bond special box set pod. Now I'm just starting some audio that would have sounded great if it just kicked in.
Sound very gassy, Howell.
Yeah, it's because I'm nervous.
James Bond ever gets gassy?
Daniel
Jim
Craig
goes
acid James reflux. Bond.
James.
James Bond.
Bond. Sorry about that. Scotch egg.
Who knows? Oh, it's, why is that not playing?
You play your audio out, Howell. Oh, well, we all get it. You know, he's got a new film. He's going to kill some people and probably, you know, have sex.
I'll download it. And instead, what a start. Let's welcome Luke Marsden. Morning, Luke.
Oh, hi. Is this season 3 now of the Box Set Pod?
Yes, Jesus, it is. How Luke. Do you not know? Wake up, McFly.
Well, because I haven't listened to the Box Set Pod since I was last on it, which was the beginning of season 2.
Well yeah, we've lowered your appearance count.
You actually sound like you're coming from Mars today. Your phone signal is... ridiculous.
Obviously, you guys know that you have 0 listeners in Wigan. I don't even listen. People, Americans who are listening know Wigan is a very small town in the north.
I've just had a look on the list. Of all the places, no, you are not listening, Luke. This is disgraceful.
How dare you?
Absolutely disgraceful.
I mean, you've got so much time on your hands. You just sat in your mum and dad's house all day with that stupid dog of yours.
I really resent that. You can insult me, Jamie, but you can't insult my dog.
No, your dog's cute. I'll give you that.
Listen, got some business to deal with first. Speaking of emails, we've had a couple of emails. But first, I just want to tell you the sad news. The Olaf, Josh Gad, who we were due to interview, has had to pull out of half of his interviews.
Oh, great.
And we fall into that half. So we won't be interviewing Olaf from Frozen. I can't tell you how gutted I am. This happens a lot with the big stars. I think they bite off more than they can chew, and then they come over and realise how much there is to do.
What probably a joke.
To be honest, most interviews are boring compared to us.
Cheers, Josh Gad.
Yeah, thanks. So there we go. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
What the problem is, though? He's off building a snowman.
Right.
See, that's why he probably says no to us, because, he knows that there's people like Luke Marsden.
We're just going to ask him to do Olaf impressions for the whole thing, not plug his new film. Let's see if this works. No, it doesn't. Why isn't this working?
So you've got the mute, you've got the sound on.
Of course I am. Of course I am, JB.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, none of it. It's not having it. This is very, very annoying. I'm going to try and get... I've got some exclusive audio
Well, you got some audio from the trailers. I mean, you could just play the trailers out of
this
YouTube.
This is a special audio trailer.
It probably isn't that special, Hal.
It's a special audio trailer. It's not just the video.
You want sound bites. Look at your sound bites.
Well, anyway, let's talk James Bond. So the new trailer came out this week for the new James Bond. Spectre. I didn't even do the emails. Can you remember Andrew Spooner? Who came on?
Yes, Andrew Spooner. Of course, he's a Muppeteer.
Yes,
a puppeteer
indeed.
And a Muppeteer.
One of our favourite ever guests. He's
brilliant,
a big fan of the podcast as well. So hello, Andrew. He has posted our interview on his site. Go and check out his site. All one word, andrewjamesspooner.com. And /reels/interviews, he's got it on there. But he's just an interesting guy. You should follow him on Twitter, @TheOnlySpoon as well. He is excellent. Who else have we got? Jack, thanks for your emails. The Black Sails or Vikings thing from a few weeks ago. We were asking for someone who's seen them to tell us which is best. This podcast is about recommendations. Both are good, though Vikings is better, in my opinion. There's more of it. I was quite surprised how you didn't mention any of the Comic-Con news, but then hearing Jamie's views on comic book fans, I think I understand why. But we've got new trailers for Batman versus Superman, Suicide Squad, Walking Dead Season 6, Vikings Season 4, and much more.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the Arthur Darvill one hugely. Great email. Thank you, Jack. That will go in the bag for possible winner of the box set. I love the Comic-Con stuff. I think it looks so ace. I was in San Diego they were setting up for it, and I had to leave just before it. So bad timing on my part. I love all that stuff.
So go back to James Bond then.
Yes.
And the new trailer for Spectre has been released. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts, Luke Marsden?
I've seen Spectre, the trailer, and I do think to myself, is it going to be as good as Casino Royale or Skyfall? Probably not.
Luke, you obviously have no idea what you're talking about, because Casino Royale was awful and Skyfall was brilliant.
Casino Royale was good,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of
Quantum of Solace.
Sorry, got you. Yeah, all right, I lose that argument. You're right, I think it is going to be that good. Sam Mendes, it's his second time directing a Bond, he's going to want it to be up there.
Can I make one request to Sam Mendes? And it goes back to Howell's kind of point last week, please don't make it 2.5 hours long.
I think
a Bond film should be about, you know, 1 hour 40. Myself, you know, don't stretch it out.
Yeah,
because that's my one problem with Skyfall is that I loved it, but I did feel it was a little bit elongated.
I listened back to our box set pod last week, and I think I lost every argument there. And it's proven by me watching Shawshank Redemption yesterday. And I remember the first time we watched Shawshank Redemption, I thought it was too long. Now I can't get enough. I'm drinking it up. I want it to last longer. And the same thing with Skyfall. I went to the cinema twice to watch that, Jerry. Twice.
Jesus.
So there you go.
Well, I watched it again as well, and I didn't find it as good second time, and mainly because I just thought it was very long.
I mean, the only good thing about Skyfall is Judi Dench's...
Oh, you can't even say that. That's a total spoiler, and it's disrespectful. I mean, you've hit two bum notes in one sentence. How do you manage it?
Right, well, I've beat that out.
Beat that out. Well done, Luke. Jeez.
There will be some spoilers in this podcast, though, because we're going to talk about old Bonds, and you can't do that, really, without spoiling it. I've got some great Bond facts. Of you, Jamie?
No.
Luke?
Fact off, yeah.
Yes, all right, let's do it, because Jamie doesn't really know about films, so we'll teach him. Fleming wrote an obituary for Bond after the You Only Live Twice, because at the end of You Only Live Twice, he dies, doesn't he? The end of the last one, he dies. From it, we learn more about Bond. His parents were Andrew Bond, a Scottish man, and Monique Delacroix, a Swiss woman. He worked for a weapons company, and he travelled often with his family. Both parents died when he was 11, and he lived with
Batman.
He lived with an aunt in England, studied at Eton and Fettes, which shows that we're not privately educated, Fettes College in Edinburgh, where he graduated at 17, recruited into the Royal Navy. The world is not enough is the Bond family motto.
The world is not enough. Who sung that Bond one? Was it Madonna?
I don't know. It wasn't very good, was it? There you go. That's my first fact. Luke?
George Clooney had the most love conquests as James Bond.
George Clooney
hasn't been Bond.
George Lazenby.
Jesus. H. That's it. Why do we
Did you hear the sound of that? That was everybody turning off.
Oh, my word.
Wow, Luke.
Well, you can't even say a name, Matt, and you're clearly reading it off a piece of paper.
George Clooney.
Have you got your glasses on?
Yes.
All right, let's put the cards on the table. I've watched a lot of James Bond. Luke, how much James Bond have you watched?
In all truthfulness, I've watched every James Bond.
Have you?
Have you watched the George Lazenby Bond?
I particularly enjoyed George Clooney as James Bond.
With Catwoman.
But yeah, no, I got a box set. You know, like your one Christmas, like 5 years ago, the big thing to get everybody was the James Bond box set. Just before, I think, Skyfall came out or Casino Royale.
Yeah.
I got that.
You could get them all for 50 quid, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you watched them all?
I've watched them all.
So what's your favourite?
Entire Christmas, before my girlfriend, before social media, before all that.
What's your favourite?
You know what? You know what? And this is slightly controversial. You know who I think is the best James Bond?
Who?
Timothy
not
Nelson.
George Lazenby, not George Clooney. I love him. I think he's great. Roger Moore.
Do you?
Hello.
My dad says he's an eyebrow actor.
He's the Alan Partridge
so.
Of James Bond's, without a doubt. I've got a great fact about him, actually. Right, this is amazing. Every scene that shows Roger Moore running in his 7 Bond films was performed by a stuntman.
Love it.
That's brilliant.
Love it.
Roger felt that he looked awkward when running.
Good on him.
So there you go. And there's another good one of that. Actually, the beginning of one of them with Moneypenny in that. I think Moneypenny's involved. There's a plane fight and. Which one was it? Pussy Galore's Flying Circus in Goldfinger. Every one of the 5 female pilots were men wearing blonde wigs.
Oh, that's ruining it. Why do we need to know that?
And that brings
You fancied all of those pilots, didn't you, Luke?
Well, I did more than fancy over those pilots.
That brings us on to the inherent sexism of James Bond. And it gets worse with age. The more that we become actually educated and sensible, the more those old ones are just shocking. Even Skyfall. James just meets a woman and then climbs into a shower without her permission.
Yeah, he does just sort of burgle her shower, doesn't he, pretty much?
Yeah, it's disgraceful.
My issue with the James Bond films in that sense is the fact that they give false hope to men that is not one only acceptable, that it actually happens and the woman's okay with it. I've tried both those shower things. It's not good.
No, yeah. No, you're right.
Very true, very true.
You're right, Luke. And what a frightening image that is. Sexism in James Bond. I mean, it can do without it. And I think the Roger Moore stuff, it was Stephen Merchant on another podcast, and I can't remember which one he's been interviewed, and he said, it's hilarious. When you're a kid, you think that's what's attractive to women, is a 50-year-old man in a safari suit.
Going,
hello, do you want to go to my bedroom? He doesn't even ask, does he? That's the thing.
He just takes them. I mean, actually, maybe because he's done less films, but Daniel Craig has got the least love conquests of all the James Bonds. Obviously, George Lazenby shockingly has the most.
So how many did he have in a film?
Less than 10.
Wow. And his Bond, he actually gets married, George Lazenby's Bond as well.
Timothy Dalton is my favourite Bond.
Timothy Dalton?
Yeah. Timothy Dalton from 1987.
You know who's getting forgotten these days?
And you know,
Pierce Brosnan gets forgotten a lot these days.
Pierce Brosnan was good as well. I think Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton are kind of the same thing. They are. And in fact, history may show that Daniel Craig fits into that camp in that they're quite naturalistic actors. They play it fairly straight. Brosnan still, though, had the highly comic scripts that is a much larger style than Daniel Craig has to deal with. Craig is very understated, isn't he? No one agrees with me. Anyone listening?
No, the thing with Daniel Craig to me is I've never seen Daniel Craig as James Bond. I watch him and I just don't like you said, I prefer the Pierce Brosnan types, the Roger Moores. I'm never a big fan of Daniel Craig as James Bond.
Because you want it to be much more comic book. In a comic sense, in a more of a Beano dandy sense, because that's what they are. Yeah, they're, I mean, so over the top.
Like the 80s Bond, Roger Moore Bond, and a bit of the Sean Connery era as well, was, you know, a guy called Jaws who could bite through metal with his metal teeth, and a guy called Oddjob who could throw his hat and it would decapitate people. That's not the world of the modern day Bond. You wouldn't say it,
I mean,
to
it's
you.
For 7-year-old boys, really, isn't, yes, it? And that's what Luke is, I suppose.
I just think to myself, yes, I did love Adele's version of Skyfall. Yes, I did love the 5-minute epilogue of that at one point. I just think it's almost got too dark, I think, James.
Well,
Bond.
I think there's a point in, like, not Bond. And
it was a prologue, by the way.
And this is where it sort of mixes with last week's discussion on, like, comic book films, because, like comic book films, they've become very serious and dark, like the Batman films. So has Bond. He's become very serious and dark, and maybe that's a bit more influenced by the Bourne Identity films. But it's I do prefer, and I enjoy being in the Bond. That's the point, isn't it? You enjoy being in Bond's world, and if it's fun, if part of it is fun.
But I think they've moved away from it, and because of Bourne Identity and things like that. But actually, when you watch Kingsman, have you seen Kingsman?
Yeah.
That is a really good.
Yeah, it's good.
That's dreadful. What James Bond should be, in a way. Dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
You should like it. You like the early James Bonds.
Yeah, but it was too. It went the other way. It was too slapstick for me.
Oh, interesting. Well, I liked Kingsman, and I thought that that might actually change the future of James Bond a little bit as well, because it parodied it again and did it in a way that was also very, very exciting and full of action, unlike the Austin Powers way of parodying it. I have Spectre trailer lined up and ready. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
You had no authority. None. Mexico City.
It's Ralph Fiennes.
What were you doing there? I was taking some overdue holiday.
Liar! Oh!
So what's going on, James? They say you're finished.
What do you think?
I think you're just getting started.
Magnificent, isn't she? 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. A few little tricks up her sleeve.
Do one more thing for me.
What do you have in mind?
Make me disappear. Tell me where he is.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
You should go there. You're crossing over to a place where there is no mercy.
You're protecting someone.
Get away from me!
I want that orchestra with me.
I trust you.
Because right now, I'm your best chance of staying alive. This organization, do you know what it's called?
Its name is Spectre.
And do you know who links them all?
James Bond.
Me.
I knew it.
Welcome, James.
You came across me so many times, yet you never saw me.
Christopher Waltz.
What took you so long?
Is this really what you want? Living in the shadows? Hunting? Being hunted? Always alone?
I don't stop to think about it. It was me, James. The author of all your pain.
Christopher Waltz! Reactions, Luke Marsden.
Yeah, I mean, it would be better if I saw the video of it.
Yeah.
It's quite a long 2.5 minutes when you're not looking at the video, isn't
it? Why don't you just get off? That's just a YouTube trailer, Howell.
That got sent to me specially, and it's called Audio Trailer.
Yeah, because it's got audio in it.
It's just the trailer played out in audio form.
Did I know that?
Well, I mean, it was a...
Did I?
I'm just saying it wasn't
worth. It's called Audio Trailer.
Yeah.
Seven people in Winnipeg are not going to be happy with that.
No, I think that's bloody exciting. Now, James Barry, who wrote the original theme tune, right? Amazing composer. James, did I say James? John Barry, obviously, wrote the original theme tune, right? Yeah. Here's a little fact about him. M's house in Skyfall, you know where Bond turns up at the beginning? Mm-hmm. Judy Dench's house.
Yeah.
That's John Barry's real house.
Oh. Really?
The former home, obviously. But yeah, that's his real house.
He's done well.
Well, if you would, wouldn't you?
Cash. You can imagine, you're made for life. All you have to do is write that song.
Yeah.
One moment of inspiration, and for the rest of your life, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, because other composers then use the theme. All he's got to do is sit there and go, da-da-bam.
Oh my God, da-da. That's amazing.
Jamie, write us a new James Bond theme now.
Okay.
Okay, a new one when we refresh it. Right, that's already been invented.
Okay.
Give us another one. It's just the ramblings of an idiot.
That's just weird.
What the hell?
He's having some sort of stroke.
Hold on, it comes back around again.
You don't know what you're doing. This nonsense.
Go, hold on a minute. Then I come Monday one go home.
Oh,
where did that come from? Yeah, it's a new reggae Bond. Name's Bond.
Played by Levi Roots.
Yes.
Do you want to know some of the actors who were?
I like my gin and tonic reggae sauced.
I just want it to be noted that I'm not laughing at all on this
anyway.
12-year-old humour.
Okay, back to Howell.
Right. So, do you want to know who some of the actors were that were up for the role of James Bond who never did it?
Hugh Jackman.
No.
Oh, I thought he was up for it once.
Hugh Grant.
Daniel Radcliffe.
No.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Hugh Grant was up for it. He would have been good.
Hugh Grant. Oh, I don't know. I'm James.
Sean Bean, a Northern James Bond. Timothy Dalton was on.
James Bond. License to O2. Because he was just as O2 man, wasn't he? But he played a villain, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
In GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Trevelyan.
Yeah. Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Will Smith.
What?
Do you want even
getting jiggy with it?
Do you want an even better one?
What?
Tom Jones.
Oh
wow, that would have been brilliant.
If that man hasn't had enough action, imagine if he'd have played James Bond as well. Liam Neeson was up for it. Adam West.
Neeson.
The old Batman.
Adam West was up for it.
Burt Reynolds.
Burt?
Clint Eastwood.
Clint. Oh, Clint would have been good in his heyday.
Christopher Lee and David Niven. David Niven, of course, played him in the...
in the comedy version.
Comedy version of...
Casino Royale.
Casino Royale, yeah.
And Christopher Lee, of course, was Goldfinger.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was Scaramanga, wasn't he? He had five nipples. Or did he have three? He had extra nipples, though, didn't he?
And here's a great one. A PR disaster. Mel Gibson.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, Sam Neill from Jurassic Park. He was up for it as well. He'd have been good.
Yeah, he would, actually.
He's got a serious face.
Very much a gentleman killer.
Yes, indeed.
He has that about him.
Can you imagine the budget on these things? I can't even begin to imagine being a director of these films, of having to get your head around so many component parts that need coming together. Like, in the opening for Skyfall, Daniel Craig was given... How many copies of the suit that he wore in that opening sequence throughout that chase?
What, he's on the train.
How many do you think he was given? Yeah.
Oh, it's a long sequence. What about you, Luke? What are you going for?
Six.
You imagine he used six?
Well, I'll go for 60.
You're going for 60. Well, Jamie wins. It's 85.
Wow.
85 copies of his Tom Ford suit. Isn't that unbelievable?
Literally, that is insane. Like, no wonder the budget was $500 million or whatever.
It's amazing. These things are... Like, the budget of these things are greater than...
Yeah.
You know, if you were building a new hotel in Vegas, probably. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's quite amazing. Quite amazing. And from Dr. No to Quantum of Solace, James Bond has killed 352 people and slept with 52 women.
Nice.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, it's so sexist. Are we ready for a Jamie Bond, a female Bond, played by a Jamie Lee Curtis?
Played by Melissa McCarthy, no.
Have you been to see Spy?
I've seen Spy. Actually, I enjoyed Spy more than I thought I would.
I did, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
It reaffirms my faith that I can't stand Miranda Hurt.
Oh, was she in it?
Yeah. I think she's all right. I kind of see your point, though.
We were talking last week about comedies not getting great reviews, and I watched another one this week. Adam Sandler's latest one with Drew Barrymore.
Blended.
Oh. Blended. It's really...
See, Blended was a bit of a surprise for me. I thought Blended was better than I expected it
Thank
to be.
You. I was about to say, I thought it was really good. Just Adam Sandler hasn't changed his style since he created Billy Madison. And it's stayed the same, and it's childish, it's over the top, it's ridiculous, but it's really funny, like the comedy of surprise. And also, he does something, you know, I've said on this podcast a lot, why don't films include the outtakes, right? Because it adds a sense of reality. It'd be really funny if they included the outtakes. I'm sure it would work. And what Adam Sandler does is you can tell that he's written the jokes based on things that has happened in his life. And when it happens again in front of him, he does this laugh that really comes from within. He kind of goes, like he really finds it funny. And it's really infectious, that. And it's hard to criticize somebody who is just, they've set up their shop, they know what they do. And they do it well. You might not like it, but they do it well.
He does get heavily criticised, and he's been criticised recently because he's doing some work with Netflix, isn't he? He's making a film with Netflix called The Ridiculous.
Isn't he doing like four films?
Yeah, this might be a four-film deal. His first one's called The Ridiculous Six, and it's kind of a Western. And a lot of American Indians have left the shoot who were involved in the project because they saw it was a very insulting. But then, that, like you said, Howell, his humour is very childish.
Very childish. Like in this
when he
film.
First when he first announced he was working with Netflix, he said, I'm looking forward to working with Netflix because it rhymes with wet chicks. That's actually what he said. Yeah. But, you know, that's who he is. You know, that's Adam Sandler's humour. If you don't like it, you know, that's the, you have to just put up with it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Any more amazing James Bond facts?
My laptop battery's died.
You know, you never see that in a Bond film, do you? Especially, you know, when he whops out that defibrillator in Casino Royale. I'd love it if the battery went on that.
If it was just Luke who was in charge of it. They went, get that man with the defibrillator. And then they came over to me and went, my defibrillator battery's died.
You know what? Weirdly enough, Luke, you'd make a great Q.
You know, it's funny you should say that, Jamie, because I watch these films and think, I could play that part.
You would be good as Q, just like some, you know, a guy with gadgets, a bit of a dweeby guy with gadgets and your glasses on, you know.
I mean, if I'm perfectly honest, I actually have imagined myself, like every man watching James Bond, thinking, why isn't that me? Why am I not watching Halle Berry come out the water in a wetsuit?
There's some questions that people can spend too long on in life and they're never going to get the answer to,
well,
Luke.
I think the problem I've always had with James Bond is I don't relate to him. Like, I look at James Bond and he's the kid at school, the cool kid at school that I would have never spent any time getting to know me, that would call me a doofus and probably, you know, punch me in the changing rooms because I had weird leopard skin underpants on.
You did, didn't you? You had leopard skin white.
No, that was Graham Chatterley.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that's why I never found Bond to be someone I could genuinely like, because I just thought, I wouldn't like him probably in real life.
Really?
So I've always found it hard. I loved the Roger Moore era because it was more fun and quirky.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's always been a jock to me. He's always been a bit of, you know...
I've never seen him as a jock. I've seen him as a soldier. Particularly with Daniel Craig and all of the debate in the last one about security and stuff. I think he's really prevalent to our time about working in the shadows and what the new wars are and the ethics around what the public deserve to know about what's going on with our secret services and what they can't find out, you know. And I agree, there is a coldness to him that makes it very difficult to get in there. But then it's about him cracking the safe, isn't it? It's about how will he? It's the A-team effect, really. When Bond is really good, it's going, how's he going to get out of this?
Yeah.
And that's when it's at its best. And I love... Can you name other films that are great just to put on in the background on a Sunday afternoon when they're on TV? War films do.
Indiana Jones films are great in the background.
Yeah, they're good. Although they suck you in, you know, they're not really...
Oh, absolutely.
...as much background noise.
Great Escape, whenever that's on.
Good background films include Angelina Jolie's Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
That's an awful film. That's why would you want that on in the background just in case you catch some of the dialogue?
Well, it's not the dialogue I'm hoping to catch again.
Okay, right, Luke. Jesus, you've got a lot more dirty these days with your, you know, your behaviour.
We're really doing well with the sexism points so far, and then there it goes. And there are films that, you know, if I'm working on my laptop and I just want background noise, I'll put it on. Spielberg will suck me in too much. Jolie would probably suck me in too much. So where do we sit? War films. I'll tell you what else I put on. Box set wise, I put on Dexter or Prison Break in the background as well. Because I just love the sound of them ticking over in the background. It's great.
You know, I've been re-watching Breaking Bad, actually. And,
have you?
That's an interesting experience.
Let me share with you. I'm in a bit of a slump at the moment with the old box sets. I've started Sense8 on Jamie's recommendation. I haven't done the four episodes yet. I'm paused halfway through the second
episode. It gets great. Gets great.
Do you watch it, Luke?
No, but what I have started watching, I'm only two episodes in, the brand new Marvel's Agent Carter.
Oh, right.
What's that like?
When you watch about half an hour of the first one, you think, oh, this is slow. Not Mad Men slow, but slow. Starts to pick up the pace, though, and I actually think it's got some legs, and she's definitely got some legs, Hayley Atwater.
There we go again.
Wow, Luke, what's with you today?
What's going on?
You take us some, like, you're a ragingly horny today, aren't you?
Shower.
Hello, Colorado.
Oh, my word.
Yes. So what? I've forgotten what your point is now.
What was your point?
So many images.
Oh, my point was that if people...
Oh, Marvel.
It's new, so if people are looking to give something a go and want Marvel Universe without the films, then Agent Carter's definitely the way to go.
Did you watch Daredevil?
I haven't. I believe I have to, though, because I believe it's very, very good.
No. I wouldn't. I would say that.
I liked it. I did.
I liked it. But I'm in no way taking it on my spaceship. I'll watch the next series because I'm kind of invested in it. But it was one of those that I felt myself going, I'm watching this because I'm invested in it.
Oh, no. You see, life's too short for those comments now, Howell.
And that's the situation I'm in with Sense8. I'm like, oh, here we go. It takes itself very seriously. There's a lot of characters.
That's Jamie all over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it does. I've not watched it that way. I thought it was actually quite making fun of itself at times. I find it quite light-hearted in its humour.
Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, you've watched 1.5 episodes.
Well, there's not been any humour so far.
I've watched 13 episodes, and it's very much an enjoyable feast of adventure.
Have you laughed?
Yeah. There's some funny bits in it.
Luke, are you doing the hoovering?
No, I'm descaling my washing machine.
I see. Carry on.
Okay, you just
nothing
keep
important going on.
I see what I'm enjoying lately. The Good Wife. It's been recommended by a number of people to
finally.
Us.
Finally.
And
finally.
Have you been watching The Good Wife?
I've watched The Good Wife, Jamie, for the past 6 years since its inception on Channel 4, moved to More 4,
you know,
and stayed on More 4. And I can tell you, it is absolutely brilliant.
What's great about it is it's sort of like, it's easy to enjoy, but it's not like, it's not too heavy. And I'm going off heavy TV at the moment. I've had a lot of heavy stuff. And
light and fluffy, but gritty. But it's got girth.
Yeah, gripping. And I just think it's a really good cast and it's really enjoyable. And it's one you can watch two or three a night. It's very enjoyable.
What is it?
The Good Wife.
Juliana Margiles. Michael J. Fox has actually just signed up.
You know what? He's bloody brilliant in it, Jay Fox. It's so great to see Jay Fox acting again. I've not seen him acting in ages.
I've stalled as well on True Detective. Carried on with that?
You know what? True Detective's been getting a lot of criticism. Mm. The second season syndrome's really kicking in for a lot of people, and it is. It's like walking through mud. The show, the plot is so slow. Some of the dialogue is really bad, actually.
But it depends. I
can't handle Vince Vaughn either. He's just...
I really do think that the way you feel about things depends on what you bring to it. Because the first season, I saw through the first season, and I found the first season exactly the same as this one.
There's something about McConaughey delivering the lines, though, that you accept because it's McConaughey.
But over time, I was like, I recognised it quite quickly as something that was really quite playing on cashing in on the fact that it was cool.
I think I read a really good review, though. It was from a sort of a random person that said this series of True Detective, it's very like the plot's really overly complicated, goes nowhere for quite a while, And it's very convoluted, all the different sort of backstories of the characters. Whereas with the first series, it was just a straight-up serial killer murder case, wasn't it? It was a very simple plot in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it was.
And that worked. I would like to go back and see if... Yeah, and I think that made it more accessible. Whereas this series, I've watched like 5 episodes now, and I just don't know what is going to happen, and I don't really know if I care anymore.
Both of them annoy me. Sometimes I think it's an offshoot of HBO having so much freedom within itself that sometimes they can go just a bit too indulgent. But again, like we were saying before, it just depends what you bring to it. And what I'm bringing to everything at the moment is a little bit of fatigue. It's a bit of box set fatigue. I need another chuck, people. I need another upbeat, funny, something that grabs my attention and keeps it. I'm very tired. I've got insomnia at the moment. I need support here. What should I do?
I'll give you some support. A TV show that I think is grossly underrated in this country, maybe even in America, but I don't know. Maybe some Americans could email you and let you know. It's called Banshee.
Oh, right.
Ah.
What's that?
No, it's basically about a guy who steals the identity of a small-town sheriff in Banshee, Pennsylvania. The guy is actually a criminal posing as a sheriff.
Love it.
It is brilliant.
Love it already.
And Alan Ball's involved in that, isn't he,
I think? He executive produces the show. It's got a really good cast, superb acting. It's gritty, it's sexy, it's smart. It's 10 episodes a season, and season 3 is currently on Sky Atlantic in the UK.
That's a very good recommendation. Match that.
See, that's what we had to sift through. How many minutes of box set there? 35 minutes, and we finally got to what the box set can do. Someone brings a problem, someone else brings
a solution. Someone else solves it. Check out the mix while the DJ revolves it.
So will you bring us your problems, please? Can be anything, no matter how serious or flippant. Let us know. Email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com. James Bond will be out.
Let me just give you a few little bits of news as well while we're here. This might titillate you a bit, because on theboxsetpod.com/news, if you go there, you'll see all the latest bits I threw on there.
Muppets! You put the Muppet trailer up a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I did.
I thought that would solve my problem.
On the way. Muppets is coming. Also,
where are we going to watch it?
It'll be on Sky.
Okay, carry on.
It's on Sky One. So, Sherlock, there's a teaser trailer for the new Sherlock special over Christmas. It's set him back in Victorian era Sherlock. So,
what?
Yeah, it's a special for Christmas. So they're going back in time to the original era that it's set, and they're doing a special for Christmas. Then season 4 comes out next January. Rumours are Moriarty might not be dead. That's the stories going around there. Also, there's trailers for Homeland Season 5. Check that out. Looks really good. You heard about that one, Luke?
I've not watched the trailer, so I will head to theboxset.com to check it out.
Theboxsetpod.com/news. Yes.
Thanks for that, Luke. Homeland Season 5 is out in autumn. So, too, is The Affair Season 2. Have you finished The Affair?
I finished Season 1, so is there a trailer for Season 2?
Yes, there is a trailer for Season 2, and that's on theboxsetpod.com.
It is the same cast, isn't it? They're not doing a True Detective.
No, same cast, yeah. Good. Same cast, but this time it's from 4 different perspectives. Four different perspectives.
That's the only annoying thing about it.
That's the original concept, Owl.
I know, but I found True Detective annoying with the first one. I bloody hate flashbacks.
Oh, dear.
You know, even at GCSE theatre, or A-level theatre studies, it was like, don't use flashbacks. It's bloody but tedious.
Okay, well, also there's a trailer for a new show by David Simon, who did The Wire. He's doing a mini-series, and the HBO trailer for that is on the website. You can have a look at that. It's set in the 1960s about race relations in New York. I've put an article up about The Walking Dead, because apparently the writer of the comic book says he knows how it's going to end and the zombie problem will be solved. Because a lot of people are wondering with The Walking Dead, it doesn't look like it's ever going to end. And lastly, there's some great trailers for some other shows coming out in September. Fargo Season 2, which looks really good. It's got a great cast, Kirsten Dunst. And Narcos, a new Netflix show about Pablo Escobar, is coming out in the next few weeks, I think. So there are some good stuff on there.
The Season 2 of Fargo, that's a different cast, is it?
Different cast set back in the 70s.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Very good, very good. Right, well, thank you. Any final James Bond facts for us, Luke?
Yes, actually, I have got a final James Bond fact for you. Daniel Craig has drank the most martinis.
Thanks very much, that's good. Take that with you if you've learned anything today, that's it. Email us, say hi, tell us what you're watching, tell us how you're feeling. studio@theboxsetpod.com.
Hold up. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.